Good morning. Today I have the extreme honor, something I've never had before and may never have again, to present to this church Neil Pearson as a minister of the gospel. So this is a very special and solemn occasion, and it's just an honor to be here and be part of it. As you all know, Neil has had a calling to be a minister for some time, and he's been preparing for that by attending universities and taking study courses, and he's going to tell you more about that in just a few minutes. A couple of weeks ago, our church sponsored his ordination council, and that's kind of like the final exam before you become a minister. In that session, we asked Neil to give us his personal testimony, which I hope he will share with you in a few minutes. We questioned him on doctrinal issues to be sure that his doctrine is sound. And we also gave him some scenarios of potentially tricky situations and asked if you were a minister, how would you handle those situations? And those in attendance were totally convinced that Neil has a calling from God and totally endorsed the recommendation to our church that he become a minister. Last Sunday in the business meeting, the church voted to ordain Neil as pastor. So I am very honored to present to you Neil Pearson, which as of today will be an official minister of the gospel. Neil, would you come share with us?
Good morning. One of the worst and scary things you can ever do is talk about yourself and what God's doing through you. Since I've been called to the ministry of God, God has provided. God has provided in ways that I can't explain. When I first got the call from Liberty about signing up for classes, they wanted money. I freaked. I just went to God praying about it. I said I didn't want all these loans and all these other. We just couldn't do that. And everything worked itself out. I thought I was going to have to borrow money, but I never had to borrow a dime. I did need prayer. I needed guidance. I needed all these things, but money was never an issue. And I don't know how God did that besides being God. I was always in the right times and the right places to learn things. I met the right people. He provided for our home, school, and our lives. Received the right training through Liberty. Received the right encouragement through friends, fellow pastors and preachers and things like that. Had friends to lean on, people to pray with me, encouraged me, pushed me to grow in some cases, people to look up to, answer my questions. They bought me lunches. They lent me books and helped me grow. A loving wife and family who were very patient. We're okay when I miss things. A godly mother, people praying for me and support. When issues came up, provisions and opportunities came to help. Thanks for your love and support. Thank y'all for everything. Continue to pray for me.
Neil, as you already know, it's always an honor to have the opportunity to be in the pulpit, right? Today I have a double honor to be able to give the charge to you. Thank you so much. My passage is from 2 Timothy 3:16, and this is actually where the message will come from at the 11 o'clock service. And Neil, I'm also going to refer to the 27th chapter of Numbers, because I found some words there that I specifically wanted to share with you. But I think the two go together. 2 Timothy 3:16 through chapter 4, verse 5. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Neil, in the 27th chapter of Numbers, we read a prayer that Moses offers to God. Now, Moses has just learned a little while earlier that he's not going to be allowed to go in the Promised Land because he had sinned against God, and he accepted his consequences for his actions, but he had a burden for God's people. And so he prayed to God. And ironically, this prayer was followed by a commissioning service, an ordination, if you will, of God's man, Joshua. I believe Moses certainly knew what it was like to be a pastor, although for some reason most people think it's strange to refer to Moses as a pastor. But nonetheless, Moses was God's choice for leading God's people. Numbers 27, beginning with verse 15, Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and to come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in so that the Lord's people will not be like a sheep without a shepherd." And God answers Moses' prayer. Verse 18, "So the Lord said to Moses, 'Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hands on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. And at his command, and he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command they will come in.' Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. And then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him, as the Lord instructed through Moses." Now, why Joshua? I mean, there were tens of thousands of males in Israel that would have been qualified as far as earthly standards to lead God's people. As we know, when God spoke to Samuel when he was commissioning a king, he said, "Man looks at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." God chose Joshua, I believe, because first of all, Joshua knew what it was like to be enslaved and oppressed by the enemy. He had been there. A lot of times we forget Joshua was there in Egypt. He had lived as a slave. He had known what that oppression was like. Joshua had also experienced God's deliverance. He knew what it was to have God free him from that slavery, from that oppression. Joshua went on to prove himself as he dared to believe God's promise for that land of Canaan, the promised land. Joshua was honest. He told the truth even when it wasn't popular. He and the 11 other spies went into the land to do some recon, and 10 of them came back and said, "No way, we can't do it." But Joshua and Caleb stood firm and said, "God will give us this land." It wasn't a popular stand, especially when 10 of your peers are saying the exact opposite, and the people are afraid, but he had the courage to stand and tell the truth even when it wasn't popular. So he didn't follow the crowd. He was obedient to God. Jesus says in John 15:16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last." Neil, you did not choose the path that lies before you, but Christ chose you. He chose you to serve him in ministry. What an incredible honor. He knows the plan he has for you. It's a scary thing. I think about Abraham, and God says, "Go." You know, I'm the one who wants the detailed agenda. I want the itinerary. What flight am I taking? I want to make sure I get to the airport 3 hours early, get everything checked. God says to Abraham, "Go." And Abraham went. And God has called you. He knows the plan he has for you. He has set you apart. God will continue his work in you so that you will be equipped for the work he's prepared for you. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5, "May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Neil, he who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. Neil, I know of your true humility. I think of you when Paul asked in 2 Corinthians 2:16, "Who is equal to such a task?" And Neil, I offer some words of advice, not my earthly wisdom, because I don't have any, So I'm trying to rely completely on God's word. First and foremost, remember, you are a servant of God. Since it is Christ who has called you, follow the example of Christ. As we see in Christ's example, a true leader is a servant. Philippians 2:5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Though King of kings and Lord of lords, worthy of all of our praise and worship, he nevertheless humbled himself, and he served the very ones that he had created. Neil, remember, it's not so much as your responsibility to be a servant as it is your privilege to serve. Be a servant. Second, strive for holiness. Ephesians 4:1 says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16 reminds us, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed ahead to his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Before Jesus was crucified, he prayed for his disciples, but Neil, he also prayed for you. John 17:20 reads, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So, Neil, by your testimony, you have believed the gospel of Jesus Christ and received God's gift of salvation and eternal life. So the prayer that Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father, he said, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. But we know that God himself will sanctify you completely. But your responsibility, Neil, stay in God's word. Be faithful to God's word and allow his Holy Spirit to work in you. Neil, ever since I've known you, you have strived for holiness, and you've lived your life with integrity. So continue to live your life in such a way that if no one ever heard a word that you say from the pulpit, they would still know of God's grace from observing your life. Thomas Kempis wrote, at the day of judgment, we shall not be asked what we have read, but what we have done. Not how eloquently we have spoken, but how holy we have lived. Remember, you are first and foremost a servant of God, and strive for holiness. So who is equal to such a task? You are, through the power of Christ Jesus. Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 2, the confidence that you need is yours through Christ, because God has made you, Neil Pearson, a minister of the new covenant. My prayer for you is Ephesians 1:15 through 19. For ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, and I remember you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for all of us who believe. Heavenly Father, the fields are white into harvest. Thank you for calling your servant, Neil. We don't know the particulars right now, but that doesn't matter. Like Isaiah, he responded, here am I, Lord, send me. And I know that wherever you lead, he will go. Thank you for Janet, for their family, for the work that you're doing in their lives. God, I would pray for your divine protection, that you would put a hedge around them to keep them from the attacks of Satan. Protect them, especially their children, from the influence of the world. It is a challenge to be a part of your ministry, but God, for those who are called, there's no other vocation that will satisfy. I pray that you would continue to work in his life, that he would be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of his mind as he devotes himself to study in your word. Thank you for the privilege this church has to to recognize your calling on his life and to ordain him to the gospel ministry. Thank you for each one that's here. And I would just pray that each of us would commit ourselves to praying for the ministers in this church and their families, for the search committee, for the pastor that you would bring to us. You know the plans you have for us, God. We would pray that we would be in your word and be in prayer and be a people of your word and a people of prayer, so that we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as he leads us to do your will and to call your man to this pulpit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Neil, I'm going to ask you to come forward, and if you'll just kneel here in front of the table, I'm going to ask that those who are ordained, whether you're ordained into the gospel ministry or ordained as a deacon, if you would just come forward, we can just line up here, and if you would just take a moment and come and lay your hands on Neil and offer whatever words of prayer for his life that God has placed on your heart.